Welcome to our Bible class. And if you're visiting this morning, welcome. You know, we've been studying the kingdom of God. And this morning we're going to go and study about doing good in secret. Amen? Okay, if you're looking for a good, nice, you know, feeling message, you're probably going to be disappointed this morning. Okay, so, you know, when we hear God's word, it's not going to be nice, always nice and good. It's going to be challenging. You know, God's word is going to be, it's going to challenge our heart. If you're not challenged this morning, maybe I did not communicate the message very effectively, or maybe there's something wrong with your heart this morning. Okay? You know, we've been studying about the kingdom of God, how it was ushered in God prophesied in the Old Testament, and how it was ushered in into the New Testament when Jesus came. We've been studying Matthew 5, and we study the Beatitudes. And last week, Steve Collier, our elder, he taught us about the love our enemy and non-resistance. You probably was very challenged by that message, right? And that class was a little bit quiet that day. So today we're going to go into Matthew 6 from 1 to 18. So this class we're going to, you know, have some participation. And I want to review a little bit what we have learned so far. So please participate. And you can, you know, talk loudly when you participate. I wanted to review a little bit what we've learned so far in the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Amen? Okay, so what we have learned so far? Please raise your hand. Danny?
Righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisee.
Amen. Righteousness must surpass of the Pharisee. Who else? Pray for our enemies. Anyone else? What we've learned? God's kingdom is a kingdom of priests. Amen. Danny? Amen. Evaluate, regulate, and amputate. I hope you guys have been doing some amputation, right? Okay, who else? Okay, so we've learned a lot. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Amen. And God is our king, right? And we are his disciples. We are his subjects. And God's scripture is our law, specifically the Sermon on the Mountain. We learned that the Sermon on the Mountain is also referred to as Sermon on the Kingdom. That's God's constitution for His kingdom. This is the Sermon on the Mountain. We've been studying in the last couple of weeks. That's how Jesus expects us to live, and what the kind of heart we got to have. So how do we get into the kingdom of God? We learned that already, right? How do we get into the kingdom of God? Come on. Come on. Joe? Right. Believe, repent, and be baptized. Right, like in Acts 2:38, we got to repent of our sins. Right? We got to believe who Jesus is. We got to radically repent of our sin, confess Jesus is the Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus called us to be perfect as a Heavenly Father is perfect, just like last week we studied. Jesus called us to a higher standard than the law, He's called us a higher standard in the relationship, in our purity, in our words, what we say, and in our love for people, for one another. And if you want to be in God's kingdom, you got to live by this standard. You know, there's no way we can live in the kingdom on our own. There's no way. That's why Jesus is going to teach us today how to pray. Amen? Jesus is going to teach us how to give, pray, and fast correctly, and how to do them in secret. First of all, he's going to teach us how to give in secret. The first point, let's go to Matthew 6, 1-4. Before that, let's go to God and pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you for this beautiful day, God. Thank you that we can come here this morning, God, to look into your word, to study your word, God. I pray that you will move us, God, you will teach us, help us to be more like you, God. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, God. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Father, we thank you so much, Father, for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read together in chapter 6 of Matthew. Verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Heavenly Father. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. He says, first of all, he starts out with, be careful. When Jesus said, be careful, you got to be careful, right? You got to heed his teaching. You got to heed his word. Right. Jesus said, be careful. Why is he saying be careful? Because you know, he knew that these guys came from the Jewish background. And how the Jews, you know, what went on, that, on during that time of Judaism and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and how destructive it was when they did everything for men to be seen by men. So he said to be careful when you give. Not to do the acts of righteousness to be seen by men. You know, the Jews, their religion, their righteousness they have to abide by. Or they want to do in their religion is to give to the poor, pray, and fast. That's their acts of righteousness. Okay, so he said, be careful, don't do these things before men to see. He says, when you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet. Don't blow your trumpet. You know, I was going to ask Peter to bring his trumpet this morning, to blow it, but I said, and he's making too much noise, so we're not going to do that this morning. So don't blow your trumpet when you do good. Give to people. He also said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't even let yourself know what you're doing. Don't even let yourself off, you're doing good. Because sometimes we do things to let people see how good we are, right? Sometimes we do it hoping someone to look at us and say, wow, this guy is good, or this girl is good. But even when you do it, sometimes it's very subtle. We don't want to say, but we want to do, hoping someone to see us doing it. I know I've fallen into that trap. Making myself feel good. Encouraging myself, wow, I'm a good person. So don't even let yourself even know that you do good. Doing things in secret is good for our heart. That's what Jesus expects us to do. He said, your Heavenly Father will reward you if you do that. Have you ever done something and someone does not seem to appreciate?
What?
Have you ever felt that? Man, I give to this person. I went the extra mile for this person. But it doesn't seem that this person really cares. I mean, I felt that way. You know, Jesus said, your Heavenly Father knows. That's all that matters. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men.
Amen.
Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. You know, whatever we do, it's not for men. When you go to work, you're working for the Lord. When you study, college students, you're studying for the Lord. You know, no one has to see it. It's got to be in your heart. You don't have to be praised by your boss. You should not get your joy from the praises of men. Let me ask you, what drives you? What makes you do what you do every day? You know, a lot of us, we are driven by the praises of men. We thrive on them. You know, our emotion goes up and down. Depends on how the people, you know, praise us. You know, if this brother doesn't give me some praises, I feel bad. Or this sister, if this sister doesn't say hello to me, I don't feel good. If no one lifts me up, you know, my spiritual walk with God goes down. Do we look for praises from men? Our emotion depends on what people think of us. You know, our church in 2003, we have a big problem with our church. If you guys been around for a while, you know what I mean, right? You know, God, a lot of hearts were revealed when our church went through that difficult time in 2003. You know, the church in Atlanta split up. Leaders resigned. People fell away from God. There were divorces in the leadership. A lot of hurt, a lot of resentment. It was a bad time, a very difficult time in a church. It was devastating. I think our church fell into the trap of the Pharisees and the law and the teachers of law back in those days. We were more too focused on what men think. We were more focused on how we look than what God think. God had to discipline us. It was tough. God had to refine us. Purify us. And I was very sad of the result, you know, what happened. A lot of my friends who were back in those days, they fell away. The guy who helped me become a disciple is no longer in the church. I'm sad, but I'm glad that it happened. You know, help us to reveal our hearts. Where is our heart? Are we doing this for God or are we doing it for men? Are we in this for God or for men? Your God will reveal our heart sooner or later. You know, if you rely on men, you'll be disappointed. You know, I want to share about when I came back to the U.S., I went to Vietnam right after I finished college. I went to help out the church there. I lived there for 15 years. In those 15 years, only came back here twice to visit. You know, so, you know, we helped set up the church, got married, and we went back in 2010. And when I came back, I was disappointed. I did not get a hero's welcome. No red carpet treatment. You know, I thought, man, I sacrificed 15 years of my life. And when I came back here, there was no recognition. You know, it was hurt. It hurt. You know, and I was tempted to be bitter and to blame God. I was having difficulty in my finance. I had to do, you know, odd jobs like mowing grass for people. I had to deliver newspaper. You know, I'm a college graduate, but I had to do all these things. You know, I was bitter. God is not fair. You know, I had that feeling. I was looking for recognition from men, praises from men. And that's how I felt. I was depressed, you know, and I wanted to go back to Vietnam. But God, you know, I remember Jesus. I had to pray a lot, and brothers and sisters helped me. You know, I remember Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, Jesus came down here not to be served on, but to be a servant. To die for us. Man, I had to change my attitude. I did not want to come back here to people to look at me and to serve me or to encourage me. I want to change my attitude. I want to come back here to encourage my brothers, to serve my brothers and sisters, and to give. I had to make that decision in order to make it. Because Satan is going to use that bitterness and he's going to kill me. You know, bitterness is like poison. If you let it be in there, it's going to kill you sooner or later. I had decided to go ahead and get rid of it. And God has blessed me tremendously. Amen. God has blessed me tremendously. And I praise God for that. Amen. You know, I look back in the 5 years been back. I mean, God has done amazing things in my life. God has blessed me with a home. I never dreamed of having a home of my own. And it's all paid for. I mean, I still owe a little bit to my family, you know, but God has blessed us with awesome friendship, disciples here in this ministry. I mean, we live in a location where we have great schools. I'm just blessed. You know, whenever I think about it, God's doing amazing. I don't know. I mean, I don't even have a great job, but God has blessed me with all these things that I need. You know, I've been reading this book by this author called Polly Young Enzadreth. She's a PhD psychologist. She says, in the last few decades, American parents has fallen into the trap of overpraising and making their children feel too special. She wrote, "The trouble of being special is that it frequently leads to being trapped in negative self-absorption. Parents and children have been taught otherwise, that being and feeling special leads to happiness and positive self-regard. It is deeply and sadly ironic that it has almost the opposite effect. If children mistakenly believe that their own accomplishment and possession or status will make them happy and sustain their lives, when these things do not deliver the wish for the outcomes, they, whether growing or growing, will assume that the self is the problem. They will fall into the self-esteem trap, regarding themselves as defective, not smart, pretty, talented, fast, or clever enough, and turning their hatred towards themselves, exaggerating their undesirable quality and diminishing their positive characteristics. You know, what she's saying that, you know, when we bring our children, we overpraise them. Isn't that good? You know, in the last few decades, we say, oh, we want to build confidence in our children, so we got to overpraise them. That messes them up, according to the psychologists. You know, our children, we think that, you know, overpraising them, making them feel special, that will help them, but the opposite, that's the opposite of what's going to happen. If we treat our children like they are prince and princess, they will grow up feeling that they are prince and princess. They will feel superior to other people, and they will look down and disrespect other people. It'd be more self-centered. Have you seen these kind of children? I see them all the time. They don't even listen to their parents. They even disrespect their parents. When the parents walk into the room, they even don't even notice their parents. That's sad. That is sad. You know, this author told a story about this parent. She was having a problem with her stomach, and she needs to dial 911. And she asked her son to call for her. But her son said, "Sorry, Mom, I'm ordering a pizza." You know, he is more concerned with his need more than what his mom is going through. We got to change. We got to encourage our children, but we cannot over make them feel special. You know what I mean? We talked about, you know, when children go through adversity, we got to let them go through adversity. When they're going through challenges, we cannot shelter them and say, I'll take care of this. That's what I used to do with my children, I know. And I always make sure that they don't fall. Like, I had to let them fall to learn the lesson. So that we can help them be ready when they get into this real world. Because in this world, there's a lot of challenges, a lot of problems. Let's go into next one. Pray in secret. He said, when you pray, right? Not if you pray. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corner to be seen by men. I tell the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. He said, when you pray, you know, we got to pray. It's no option. You know, we can't live the kingdom life without praying. There's no way to be spiritual if we don't pray. Praying is when we connect with God. We communicate with God. We stay focused on our mission and our purpose. You know, Paul compares our spiritual journey to like running a race. You're running a race to win the prize. What is our prize? To get to heaven. Amen? And we won't make it if we don't pray. Prayer is like oxygen for us. We cannot live without oxygen. And sometimes we don't really take it seriously. Prayer is crucial. He say, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, stand in the middle of the synagogue or on the corner, street corners, and be seen by men. Do not do that. But instead, go to your room between you and your Father. Pray. You know, praying is a relationship between you and God. Go to your room. Enjoy your time, your father and son or daughter time with God. It's not about showing how fluent you are, how good you are in praying, how loud you are. Do not be like the actors, the hypocrites. It's a special thing that we are able to go to God and pray. You know, God wants a relationship with us. He just wants us to spend time with us. You know, the Bible says he already knows. What are you going to pray before you pray it? Then why do we need to pray? He just wants to spend time with us. He longs to be with us. Do you long to be with God? You know, my son, Kevin, I asked him before I'm going to share with this. My son, Kevin, the 6 years old guy, he one day he came to me and did the Lord's Prayer. I said, you know, I asked him, where did you learn that from? Did I teach you? He said, no. Did your teacher teach you? No. He said, no. How did you learn that? He said, I learned it by myself. He said, our Father in heaven, you know, hallowed be your name. I said, wow, I was impressed, you know. He just read the Bible and he learned and he memorized it himself. I was so impressed with that. So Jesus helped us to pray correctly. This is called the Lord's Prayer from verse 9 to verse 13. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Some, you know, and some Catholics, they call it the Our Father Prayer. Say, Our Father Prayer. Are you Catholics from around? The Catholics, they recite this very quickly, and sometimes you don't even know what they're saying. My wife was Catholic, and you know they recite this over and over and over. It's also called a repentance prayer. You know, but we are not to pray mindlessly like this. It's a heart. Prayer is from the heart, expressing God to God what we're feeling. And so when Jesus said, this is how you should pray, it's not that we should pray and memorizing word by word like this, but when you pray, this is your heart. This is how you should have when you pray. He first of all, he said, our Father in heaven. He said, see, God is our Father. We go into the Father, our Abba, our Daddy. We are able to do that. We can treat God like our Daddy. Father, hallowed be to your name. You see, God's name is, hallowed means holy. God's name is holy. We got to praise God for his name, who he is, what he has done. Your kingdom come. Say, your kingdom come, be your earth as on earth. He said, your kingdom will pray. We pray that His kingdom will be more and more into our lives, into our in our community, in our school. Pray that His kingdom would be more and everywhere in this earth. Your will be done. What is God's will? His will is to have more and more people to come to know Him, to be His disciples. He said, give us our daily bread. Pray for our basic needs. You know, it's humbling to pray for our basic needs. He said, don't pray for nice things. Don't pray for a nice house, right? He didn't say that. Don't pray for a good life or nice for nice things. But he said to pray for just for the bread daily. I think sometimes we pray for this and that, and God said, hey, you just need the bread. That's all you need. Okay? To be happy. But sometimes we're not happy with that. But God said, bread does not just mean our physical needs, but bread is also our spiritual needs. You know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We need Jesus every day to make it. Jesus is the living water also. How is your quiet time? I ask you, how is your quiet time with God? Are you getting deeper with God? How's your prayers? And then he said, verse 14 and 15 say, forgive us. I'm sorry, I say, forgive us our debts. We also forgive our debtors. He said, debts here means, in Luke 11, it refers to sins. Forgive our sins. We ask God for forgiveness of our sins, as we also forgive others of their sins. We are expected to forgive others. He said, if you don't forgive people, you cannot be in God's kingdom. Lead us not into temptation. You know, in NIV, another translation, the NIRV, it says, keep us from falling into sin when tested. We will be tested. You know, lead us not into sin when we are tested. Deliver us from the evil one. Who is the evil one? We think the evil one is Satan, right? That's what I always think. But the evil one can be also in us. Our hearts. In Matthew 15, 19 say, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony and slander. Our hearts is evil. Okay, we got to see that. In Jeremiah 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. And in Proverbs 23 says, above all, guard your heart. Because we are capable of doing a lot of evil. There's sin in our hearts. And if we don't pray for God to help us every day to fight against that evil, we're going to be like anyone else. We got to realize a heart can be very evil. You know, that's why we got to come to God every day, praying to God, please, lead us not into temptation. Help us. We got to see ourselves as poor in spirit. Amen. As beggars, spiritually. That we cannot make it without God. Paul said he's the worst of all sinners. And Jesus said there's no one is good except for God. We have to evaluate ourselves and know our weaknesses. We got to see our weakness so we can regulate ourselves. We talk about regulation, right? Yeah. Evaluation, regulation, amputation. You know, for me, I want to share with you, I know that I'm sinful. I know that I'm weak. I know, you know, I'm tempted to go into this, you know, pornography scene, pornography on the internet. So what I did was I cut off my YouTube app. I cut off the YouTube app and my PC. I installed the K9 web protection. Make sure that I'm protected and also my children are protected. Amen. By the way, K9 is free. Okay, so you can check that out. I cannot trust myself. I cannot trust my heart. Right. You know, we are the only species, the species that wants to kill our own kind. We are the one who invent ways to terminate each other. That's how what you see in today's world, how evil our hearts can be. Okay, third one. I got to wrap this thing up. Fasting in secret. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is in heaven, who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, fasting is a biblical thing. Jesus says, when you fast, even though a lot of us do not fast very often, you know, but fasting, why do we fast? God will hear our prayers. What else? Sorry? Discipline our lives.
Draw closer to God.
To realize how much we need God. Thank you. I think we have many reasons for fasting. But what is a true reason? It says, fasting, for me, when I fast, I'm more grateful to God. I'm more grateful for the bread that you receive every day. You know, we take for granted for what we have every day, you know. The food, we so readily have what we need. But we fast, we see how much we are blessed. Fasting is abstaining from food and drink. That's true biblical fasting. You know, and it's humbling. We're weak when we fast. Man, we cannot go a day without food. You know, see how weak we are. Remember. In the Old Testament, Elijah prayed, and for 3 years there was no rain, and the people were having a problem. They were hungry, they were desperate. Imagine if God did not give us rain for 3 years now, what would happen? We'd be in big trouble, right? We'd have food shortages, and God can do that. So. Fasting help us to realize we need God. How weak we are before God. We need to be humble before God. Okay? In conclusion, I just want to tell you that Jesus wants us to be careful. Be careful in the acts of righteousness. He wants us to, you know, when you give, don't blow your trumpet. When you pray, don't let men see. When you fast, do not look somber. He said, when you do things in secret, your Heavenly Father already knows. And that's your reward. Amen? Amen. Thank you for listening. Please go get your kids. That's all for the class this morning.